have much to celebrate, amen? Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Savior, on and on we could go about all that he is and all who he is. And so it is a great opportunity for us to be and to celebrate that, to worship him and to sing our praises to him. We also have the opportunity to sing and to be grateful about so much that God is doing, hopefully in your life, even if you come here this morning. But I hope too, just that we recognize all that God is doing in our church, that we have the opportunity to celebrate. Just this weekend, for example, Friday, we had our first women's retreat. We had like 200 some on women there that evening this Friday. In fact, who all went to that? There's a massive number of ladies, and it's just a phenomenal opportunity. Great, great evening of just worshiping and studying God's word. Right now, we've got a class going on. We have 30 people walking through our next step, our membership process. So God is bringing people to the church, which is exciting. We've just got a ton of things to praise God for as he continues to do work in this place. Something else to be celebrating, or at least to be mindful of, and doesn't really have anything to do with necessarily what's going on here, but it is a special weekend. It's Veterans Day weekend, and so we also get the opportunity and the privilege to be able to celebrate those that have served our country. So if you are a veteran and you've served in any branch of service to our country, would you stand just real quick? We'd like to just celebrate you, recognize you. Thank you. You know, we say it all the time, Jeremiah 29 calls us to be a people in exile that are for the place that we live, that want the best for the place that we live. And you who have sacrificed so much for our country and for this place, like, we're grateful for that. We're grateful for that heart because you have served all of us. And so we just really appreciate that and want to celebrate you. A couple of things I want to draw our attention to, really just two. One, don't forget that tonight, while we celebrate, we also continue to pray that God continue to do a work in us as the church and through us as the church. And so we have the privilege and the opportunity to gather tonight at 6:30 here in the church. We'll actually be meeting in our student center, which is just on the Walmart side of the building. And we want to invite you to be here 6:30 tonight. We're going to gather together as God's people and pray as the elders of the church lead us to pray for our city and for our church and for all of those things that we need to be constantly and mindfully praying for. And so I want to invite you to that. Again, 6:30 tonight. Please make it a intention to be present. Also, as we mentioned last week, we're moving into the holiday season. So Thanksgiving, Christmas is upon us. And we have the privilege of serving our community in a variety of different ways, and one of those ways is through a ministry called Tree of Angels. And basically, it's really simple. We have an opportunity where you can go out into the lobby right after the service and go to a table that's kind of on the left as you exit. It says Tree of Angels, and there's a whole list, a whole bunch of cards on there with the names of kiddos. And we have the privilege of being able to step into that, take those names, and then be able to buy gifts for those kids that wouldn't have that opportunity to celebrate the birth of our Lord. And then the Ministry of His Helping Hands and Youth Horizons are going to be distributing those to those kids. And so really want to call you into that. It's a great way for us to minister into the lives of our community. And again, just to share the gospel and help point people to the hope of Jesus during this season, not the hope of materialism or anything else, but the hope of Christ. And so I really want to encourage you to that. Really, I want to go ahead and move into our time of our sermon. And as you can guess, we've got some things that are a little different today. In fact, you've got see two chairs here, and you're probably wondering, what are those about? Well, I'm going to introduce you to somebody here in just a second. But before I do that, let me explain kind of what we're doing and why we're doing it. If you're not familiar, this is Orphan Sunday. So all across the nation, churches are gathering, and they are celebrating and being mindful of this day. And here's one of the things that oftentimes gets asked is why Orphan Sunday? Like, why is that such an important thing? Why are we going to drive that forward? It's probably just because that's Darren's passion. And Darren loves caring for orphans because he's adopted a little girl. And so he just has a passion for that. Well, listen, I want to make something really clear. I am passionate about orphan care, but there's a lot of other things I'm passionate about that I don't bring into this space. And you should all be grateful probably. But nonetheless, like the reason why we wanna bring that into this space is because we don't just believe that Darren's passionate about orphan care, we believe that our God is passionate about our orphan care, that our God cares about the fatherless. In fact, yeah, amen. Like this is absolutely true. And when we look at the gospel, we see in orphan care a picture of the gospel. And so we're gonna talk through that a little bit today. And so as we jump into that, I want to pause. I'm actually gonna move the podium over here just a little bit. I'll move it back here actually so you guys don't have to look at it. And then I wanna introduce you to a friend of ours. Jill, why don't you go ahead and come on up? This is Jill Mason, and many of you have heard me reference or talk about Jill really throughout our journey with our little girl, Jade. We got to meet Jill the first time in China, like on day 3 or 4 of us adopting Jade. Jill was actually present in China adopting her daughter, Tabitha, Zizi. And we met Jill, and if you've been around and you've walked with Karen and I in this journey, you've heard me mention about this wonderful godly lady that was really a godsend for us in a time where we really needed her. And she has walked with us, and she has been available for Karen to call on nights where we're like, don't know what to do, and she has just been present in that space. And let me share a little bit about Jill, and then I'll kind of let her share a little bit. But the reason why I wanted her to be here is because a lot of times it's important for us to not just hear from God's word, but also to hear testimony. The testimony of what God has done, the testimony of the importance of the gospel in certain spaces. And I just could not think of anybody better to share a testimony about caring for the fatherless than Jill. And so, Jill, why don't you tell them a little bit about your family?
Okay. My husband, Brent, and I have been married for 30 years. 31 years. And
we won't tell him.
Anyway, we have 13 children, 9 through adoption, and 4 biological. Our biological came first, and then when our youngest son or child was 2, I adopted a little girl from India. So it was just kind of a continuous thing, and we've been adopting for 23 years now.
I have to pause. You actually see a picture of Jill's family up on the screen here in just a second. And when I said, hey, Jill, send me a picture of your family, she sent me like 3 pictures, and then she was like, wait a minute, none of these have all of us. And I was like, well, it must be a challenge to get like 15 people in one picture, but you can see there a picture of most of the 13 kids and yes. Brent that make up your family. Tell me a little bit and tell the congregation a little bit, just as you've stepped into adoption, and we've talked about this, that none of these situations have been easy ones. Let the congregation know just a little bit of a picture into some of the challenges that you and Brent have walked into as you have stepped into these kiddos' lives.
Okay. Of our children through adoption, they all are special needs. They've ranged in mild, somewhat mild, to we have 3 daughters in wheelchairs, spina bifida, cerebral palsy, post polio, which has a huge baggage of issues that goes with that, Vactrol, arthrogryposis, all words I did not know.
None of us know either.
So I have learned a whole lot about each of these conditions. So that was hard, but it was little at a time, starting with the first, and God taught us a lot through that. And we had, even through our biological children, there was medical issues that came up. So we felt pretty confident we could handle it. That's partially true, but it's mostly God gave us the grace one child at a time. Mm. It was hard. Seeing your child hurting is hard. The trauma that we have learned more than we ever thought we would know about trauma brain, and that is a very real thing, and no child should ever have to have it. Mm-hmm. But dealing with that means dealing with anger and hurt and rage and desperate aching for love that they craved, and didn't know how to accept. And that was hard. And God gave us, a little at a time, glimpses into what he wanted us to do. as long as we stayed open. Mm-hmm. And we were listening to what he said this child needed. And with nine children, you'd think two of them might have the same need, but they actually have not. They've all been reached in very different ways.
In fact, Tabitha, who you see in the middle, is who Jill and Brent were adopting when we met you guys in China, and she has arthrogryposis. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but
it doesn't matter.
Which is not an easy thing, which is a challenging thing. But nonetheless, you guys have stepped into that. And how's this year been? Year and a half.
It was a little rough. Tabitha was six when she came home, so her first 6 years were spent in an orphanage. And she wasn't speaking very well. She did not really speak Chinese, and she clearly did not speak English, because our daughter, who speaks fluent Chinese, would try to talk to her and say, I have no idea what she's saying. But it turns out, from another mother that I learned, when you walked into the orphanage where Tabitha came from, there's 400 and some odd children, but you will not hear a sound. There was silence, and she said it was the cleanest, most deafening quiet you would ever see. So Tabitha had no language exposure. So she has had to handle a lot in a short amount of time for a little girl who was thrown into chaos. And she is now happy, not every day, but she is accepting love. She's learned how to play. She came not knowing how to play, just basically an infant in a six-year-old body for her abilities. Her arms and legs do not bend, her hands stay cocked, so she's very dependent, but she has figured out a way. If you give her, with all of our children, they have had their issues, and our other daughter with arthrogryposis can't use her hands in any way, and life looks different for her, but she has figured it out, and she just wants to be a Lego master, even though she has to do everything, including write and do Legos with her mouth. Mm-hmm. We've learned incredible lessons of perseverance through her.
So when you guys are walking through this process, I mean, I want to ask the question that I think most of us would ask, is that it's one thing to step into a situation like that one time. After a season, the question has to come, why do you continue to do this? In fact, you shared a story with me about your mom last night about kind of her response, even with Tabitha. You kind of share that and kind of that answer that question. It's like, why do you keep stepping into this space? And again, what your mom's response was.
Okay, backing up just a little bit, when Brett and I were married, we decided and committed our lives to, it was whatever, wherever, whenever God called us. And we wanted our hearts to break for whatever he had for us. And gradually, he started revealing that, and we kind of dragged our feet a little bit because it was super scary. And the thought of traveling to another country was a little bit daunting. But he grew us together as a couple. He grew us, and my reliance on God has grown hugely. And we had just decided to say, okay, God, if you bring a child before us or nudge us or give us whatever way you're going to show us, we will be open. And so we kept stepping through the door, and we kept praying for closed doors, and they opened. Mm-hmm. And they kept opening. And God
provided.
Nine times. We never thought that would happen. But I think, you know, there's financial, there's all these reasons you can make up in your mind that it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm married to a financial man, and it never penciled out to add any more children. We're tapped out, but he has learned, and I've seen him soften from, he was a city controller and then a finance director, and money was kind of his thing, and control was kind of his thing. And he finally got to the point where he said, okay, nothing of this makes any sense. God's provided, he's gone way further than we ever imagined. And now Brent just puts his hands up and says, okay, you got the wheel, God. Mm-hmm. It'll be really interesting to see how this goes. And he's very type A. So this was...
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I have no idea. No.
My wife knows.
It's been God's story to write, and we have been able to watch it happen.
And what did your mom say when went to go to get Tabitha?
Okay, well, I do love my mother. But after we had eight children, which by, you're still kind of in the normal-ish range. And then when I told her that we were going to be adopting again, she said, Jill, you really need to get some counseling, because clearly there is something wrong that you seem to keep needing to do this. And I had to kind of, but it's my mother, so, you know, be respectful.
Right.
And I value her opinion, but I also knew she was just wrong. So I said, okay, Mom, God, I know what you're telling me, but God is telling me something different, and I committed to listen to God, and I'm sorry, hopefully you understand, but God said, go, I'm going. Mm-hmm. And again and again, but.
Right. I want you to share a little bit with that. I mean, because that was one of the things, is, you know, remember last night you were saying that your mom looked at you and said, this is not normal.
Yeah,
and it's not normal. And it's not normal for anybody to want to step into something as difficult as that. But we, you know, you do it, and I think many people do it because they see the value of that in regards to the gospel.
Yes.
You know, as you've walked through, and you've walked through a lot of hard with not just your adopted kids, but even with your biological kiddos. And
yeah.
As you've walked through that, share a little bit of some of the beauty of the gospel that you have seen in that life. Some of the good that's come out of that, whether it's in the life of Sophie or whatever that looks like. But where have you seen the light of the gospel?
I think the most obvious display that we've got to be part of and watch happen was with our daughter Alicia, who is now 23, and she came to us one day shy of her 10th birthday, had come over, she's from India, and was abandoned in the streets of India, and her story is extremely tragic and sad and wrong, but she was brought over by another family who could not quite figure out what to do, so they asked if we would just take over the adoption. And she was a very difficult child. She was that prickly cactus wrapped in a porcupine that you wanted to love her, but she was really hard to love because every part of her little body wanted to protect herself. That's how she survived. And we knew that, but it was still really hard to know how to help her and how to get in a place where God can say, this isn't, she's not really hating you. And so you've got to be able to get past that. And little bits at a time and a lot of backwards going, we kept at it and just proved to her we were going to stay there. And this child who was angry and full of hate and just so damaged by the world, but beautiful girl. Finally, when she was 17, she said, okay. We had told her repeatedly, you were here for a purpose. God did not do any of this by mistake. You will someday know this. And so she said she wanted to be baptized. She said, I'm going to trust Jesus. And it was not like this, wow, big bright light, and now my world is different. It was still hard, but her mindset changed. And she ended up with Youth with a Mission, and she returned to the orphanage she came from. That was a source of a lot of hurt. Through a series of miraculous things, she ended up on a mission trip there. She said, I'm going back to Pune, I'm going back to the orphanage, and I'm going to tell those kids there is someone who loves them. They have a purpose. They were born for a reason.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus. And so we got to see that, even though there was many hours spent on our knees and a lot of tears and a lot of why God,
yeah,
watching her do this. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And to see her do that, and now she wants to go back in the mission field. She's involved in everything at church again. And she said, I just want to go back and I want to rescue kids, not from necessarily their situation, but she wants to go in the streets, love them like Jesus.
Right.
I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's her story. She's older, but all of our girls have a story. And they're all here on purpose, and I'm just really glad that we didn't let our fear stand in the way.
Yeah. I remember that, you know, yesterday we were talking about Sophie, and, you know, you mentioned that there was a woman in China that was going into orphanages and taking kids out, and she was only allowed a certain allotment, and went into Sophie's and, you know, got there and saw Sophie in her crib kind of in the corner, and they kind of said, she's going to die.
Yeah.
And she took her, and then that led to an opportunity for you to adopt her, but had you guys not stepped, or had she not stepped into that space, what would have happened to Sophie?
Oh, she wasn't expected to live. She wasn't even a year yet. And they told the woman that was allowed, she had a heart for God and wanted to bring medically fragile children in. She was allowed to have 12. And the government said, you can do this, you can have 12. So she got the funding. And she went into the orphanage where Sophia was, and she had her two, and she said, what's the story over here? God kind of nudged her and said, I want you to look over here. And she saw this baby on a, no blankets, just a hard crib, metal sides, big head, because she had hydrocephalus, along with her spina bifida. And they decided not to do anything medically to intervene. They were just going to let her die. They said, leave her, she's going to die. And she said, well, is it okay if I take her? So she, you can't just take a child out. You got to do some things. But she got that to all happen, and she had our little girl with her when she went back to the foster care facility she had started. She arranged for Sophia to have the best surgeons in Shanghai and a nurse, and they saved her life, and she is got a big plan. Mm-hmm. And she is a gorgeous little girl who keeps
She's a little
her
princess,
toes.
Right?
Oh, is she a princess? Complete with wave. Yeah. But they're just who they are, and mm-hmm. they're happy, and they're kids, and
yeah,
and they're healing.
One of the last questions that I just kind of ask as we kind of move on with our time is, you know, I would assume that there's a lot of people out here that go, well, how do we know that that's the call for our lives? And I know you've mentioned in our time together that even as you and Brent discussed that Brent wasn't really on the same page, yeah. Which, by the way, is pretty normal, is usually the ladies understand what God's saying first, and then they drag us along later. But nonetheless, that was kind of you guys' story as well. Mm-hmm. But for those that might be out there, like, what would you encourage them in terms of as they pray, how to engage, whether or not they should step into caring for the fatherless?
Because not everybody is called to adopt. I think everybody is called to do something. Mm-hmm. And if God is putting that in your heart, and if it is your spouse, listen. You know, he talks through them. Mm-hmm. And I'd ask Brent, what was it that had you kind of flip that switch? He said, well, we've always been on the same page. God has a purpose. He gave us a certain skill set, and there are orphans, and we would like to do whatever he calls us to do. But we took it a little further than he was comfortable with. So he said that he trusted my heart. He prayed for open doors, and if God had that as his plan, we will take a step and then see what happens. Take another step, and God has moved mountains. He moved China, like government China, mm-hmm. to allow us to adopt when everyone else was getting denied. And that was what it took for Brent to say, I guess we're going back, because God has made it very clear. Mm-hmm. But listen, don't, you know, we had asked Jesus to break our heart. We sing about it all the time, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And he does, and then we sit in it, mm-hmm. instead of take a step. Okay, what do you know now? You know there's children. You know, I've held a child's hand. The little girl said, please find me a mommy. You don't forget that. And now, okay, you have a purpose. You better move. And he uses everything he gave you uniquely in your area with blindness or yeah. with us, with our very close relationship with our neurosurgeon. So
right.
It's good.
Well, I think that's the key, is just taking a step. Well, Jill, appreciate you sharing your story. I know there's a lot more. We've heard a lot of funny stories about the journeys you guys have walked through, but appreciate you coming and sharing with us this morning. And I just want to pray over you real quick. And would you just thank Jill for being present? And I want to pray over Jill. Father, we just thank you for Jill and her willingness to be present with us this morning. There's much she could be doing at home. And I know that there was probably a little bit of panic in Brent to know that she was going to be here and him at home by himself. But Lord, we just want to pray over their family. And we thank you for their willingness to step in and be obedient to the things that you call them to. We pray, Father, that as they continue to walk down these paths, that you would just give them strength, that you would be their sufficiency, that you would hold them and keep them, and that you would, Father, give them the strength that they need every day as they're waking up at 4:30 in the morning to do catheters on their kiddos. And I just pray, Father, that you would do that work. And Father, that ultimately that the plan you have for each one of them would be realized to your glory and to your name. And so we're grateful for that. So Father, we thank you for them and their family. Just pray a blessing upon them. In your name we pray, amen. Thanks, Jill. You know, I want to just continue on, and I want to just read a text of scripture that I think is important for us, because again, I think it's important to remind ourselves that this isn't just about a passion. You know, James 1:27 says this, "The religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 says this, "He, being the Lord, executes justice for who? The fatherless and the widow. And he loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing." And then to me, one of the most impactful texts of scripture, Psalm 68:5. "He is the father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." Like for us as a church, as we think about what we want to be and how we want to live our lives, how can we not see that when God is identifying himself as the father of the fatherless, and this text is all over the scripture, that this is not an important issue for us. And it's not just because there's kids that don't have moms and dads, although it's deeply impactful. I genuinely believe that part of why this is such a part of God's heart, why this is a call that God has given to the church, his church over the ages, is because not only do we have the privilege to step in and see God do miraculous works, as Jill has seen in so many of her kiddos, as we get to see in Jade, but is this, that there are few things besides maybe marriage where you can see the gospel work itself out like you can in adoption. Adoption is the gospel in so many ways. In so many of the things that we see in adoption helps us to see our lives as believers through a new lens. I know we all live in Kansas. I know that's a shock for all of us here, but Jill doesn't. Jill lives in California. And if you are one who lives in Kansas and you just have a love for the ocean, you can do all of the things you want with that, right? Like you can watch every single episode of Shark Week. You can get every calendar and put it all over your house. You can get postcards. You can paint your entire house teal and put lighthouse stuff all over the place with seashells. And you can get those little ocean spray candles, the ones that smell like the ocean, and you can light those things all over the place. But none of it is like sticking your feet in the sand, amen? Like it's just not the same. Like you get a new perspective, a new understanding of the ocean when you feel the salty breeze blowing across your face, when you get into the water for the first time, when you see its power, when you feel the waves crash up against the shore. Like brothers and sisters, I genuinely believe that looking at the gospel through the lens of orphans is like going to the beach. It's like going to the beach. And I don't want you to mishear me. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that for you to understand the gospel, you need to adopt a child. That's not the point. The point is, though, is that for all of us, we should look at and ponder and meditate and think about what does it mean to be an orphan? And what does it mean to be brought into the family of God? And so here's the deal. I want to take Jill's testimony and I want to share a little bit more about Karen and I's testimony as we've walked through the process of adoption. And my desire for all of us is that we would see some key truths that would lead us to several things. One, that we would see our salvation in a whole new light. That we would feel the weight of the gospel. We would feel the weight of what it is to be adopted into the family of God in a whole new light. Secondly, if you have never seen the beauty of what it is to come and be a part of the family of God, that God would open your eyes to that this morning. That he would open your eyes to see what it is to be adopted into his family. And then thirdly, that we would all consider God's calling to the fatherless. We all consider what our role is in that calling. So let me jump in. Let me just share a story. Jade, that's our little girl who we adopted from China. Most of you know her. When we first saw a picture of Jade, Jade was just a little girl, and her story is one that we will never know. Like she was abandoned at a month old, left on the side of the road. We do not know why her parents did that. We'll never know that story. We have no information, but we know her state. A little girl who is supposed to be cared for, who is supposed to be loved, who is supposed to be provided for, who is supposed to be protected, abandoned, left alone, with no father, no mother, by herself. Is this not all of our stories prior to Christ? Are we not all alone prior to Jesus? We're all spiritual orphans. Ephesians 2 says it this way, that we were dead in our trespasses, that we were following the course of this world, that we were children of wrath. Brothers and sisters, we had no one to spiritually care for us. We had no one to spiritually lead us. We had no one to spiritually love us, to guide us, to provide for us, to comfort us, to parent us. We were spiritual orphans. We were outside of the family of God. That's all of us. On July 8th, of last year, Karen and I had the opportunity to meet Jade for the first time. We had the opportunity to because we felt like the Lord had led us to bring her into our family. We stepped into her life and brought her into our family. And Jade didn't do anything to deserve it, did she? She didn't ask for it. She wasn't looking for us. She didn't know who we were. She didn't do anything to gain our favor. She was adopted and brought into our families. And that's it. Isn't this our story? Romans 8:15. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Brothers and sisters, this is us. For those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus, we have been adopted into the family of God. We are now his kids. Jade didn't understand what that meant. And here's the part that's crazy about it, is on July 8th, Jade, in the snap of a finger, in us taking her into our arms, in that one moment, Jade was guaranteed everything that our natural born children had access to. Think about that for just a minute. In one minute, she was guaranteed the protection of our natural borns. She was guaranteed the provision of our natural borns, the love of our natural borns. She was guaranteed all of those things. She was guaranteed an inheritance of our natural borns. Brothers and sisters, you have all the benefits of being the child of God. Do not let that miss you today. Like, if you walk away with nothing else today, walk away pondering, what does it mean for the fact that you have all of the benefits of Jesus? Which means this: you have just as much access to the Father as Jesus. The Father cares for you just as much as he does Jesus. He seeks to protect you just as much as he seeks to do that for Jesus. He seeks to provide for you just as much as he seeks to provide for you for Jesus. He listens to you in the same way that he listens to Jesus. You have all of the same guarantees of the child of God as Jesus does. Ponder that. Rest in that. Think about, what does that mean for me every single day? Man, we miss that. Jade, in one moment, went from nothing, no abandon, completely unknown, completely unprotected, being a part of our family. This is the gospel. What does Jesus guarantee? What does he have guaranteed as the Son of God? You know, as we've walked through this process, though, you'd think that Jade would go, man, this is great. I'm so excited to be a part of your family. I'm so excited to have all of these guarantees for you. But if you've followed our story at all, as you've listened to Jill, you would know that adoption is hard. It's really hard. Not easy, is it? See pictures of when we picked up Jade for the first time. She brought so much baggage. She didn't run to our arms going, oh, I am so glad you adopted me. Like, she screamed and kicked. This is great. Like, she wanted nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. So much wounding, so much trauma, so much distrust. This is my favorite. There we go. That's like a year of the past year of my life, right? Like, it's just like, hey, I'm don't want to have anything to do with you. Like this is the thing. Like, does she not bring with her all kinds of junk? All kinds of hurt, all kinds of difficulty, misunderstandings, fears. She brings with her genetic bends that are not ours. She brings with her personality traits that are not ours. She brings with her all kinds of stuff from her past. But here's the thing. Even though she doesn't act like our natural children, she's our daughter. And listen to me, I watch her all the time, and I literally look at her and I go, that's me. That's me. And let me just tell you, like, I can't, like, how many times I have looked at this little girl and be like, don't you know what we've done for you? Don't you know how expensive this was? Don't you know how much we love you? Don't you know that we want only what's best for you? Don't you know that you can trust us? Don't you know that we're never going to leave you? And every single night, for 365 days, actually more than that now because it's been like a year and a half, at like 2 a.m, this little girl jumps out of bed, arms straight out, stiff arm, running as fast as she can down the hall, slams into our door, door goes flying against the wall, and then she runs because she's terrified we're not there. Time after time after time, we've proven to be there, and time after time, she still questions, is this not us? Is this not a picture of us? How often do we bring all of our baggage of sin and hurt and distrust and doubt, and we continue to bring that into our walks with Jesus, and we continue to go, man, he's not here, and yet there is. And as I'm sitting there thinking to that, all those times where I'm looking at Jade, I'm like, man, like, this is so hard. Like, why do you not see this? I hear this whisper in the back of my head. That's you, isn't it, Darren? But you're my son. And my love for you is steadfast. And so I know that it's hard right now with Jade, but I need you to be for her right now what you so often need me to be for you. Brothers and sisters, with all of your baggage, with all of your mess, with all of your junk, with all the times you kick and scream, with all of your baggage, his love is steadfast, amen? Do you rest in that? He adopted you knowing your hurts, knowing your fears, knowing your distrusts. He knew you weren't gonna act like Jesus. He knew on day one you weren't gonna act like Jesus. Jade did not act like my kids on day one. She still doesn't, right? Like, he knew that. And as believers, how often have we thrown a fit? How often have we refused to submit? How often have we distrusted him and accused him? How often have we been disobedient? But listen, with Jade, well, this has been an unbelievably hard year and a half. It's getting better. It's getting better. Step by step by step, she is healing. She's growing. She's finding joy. She's finding life. She's finding what it means to trust. She's finding what it means to be like a member of our family. Like, in its moment by moment, day after day, through the hard, but in the midst of it, God is doing a tremendous work. Is this not us? Day after day, we have to learn more and more to stand in the joy of the Lord, to trust him. Day after day, we become more like his son. This is the gospel. Yes, it's hard. Nobody would deny that it's hard. It is absolutely one of the hardest, most difficult things that we have ever experienced. And I would say that Jill and Brent would agree wholeheartedly. It is absolutely hard. I bet God would say the same thing about us sometimes. Are we hard to deal with as his kids? I think so. And this little girl is a picture every day to me that we continue to grow and joy in his likeness. And that's part of what this whole thing is. That's part of what it is to be brought into the family of God. What is it to be brought into and be made sons and daughters? I want to close this as we kind of turn our time to an end with this. Jade is right now and always has been since the day that I was on that floor while she was yelling at me, the delight of my heart. Do you know that you are the Father's delight? in all your baggage and all your junk. Like, brothers and sisters, my love for Jade isn't based on her obeying everything. Thank goodness. My love for Jade is not based on her knowing to be safe in me. My love for Jade is not based on anything she gives me. It's not based on whether she's gonna give me love back. It's not based on any of that. My love for Jade is based on the fact that I decided to declare her my daughter. Your love, the love that God has for you, is not based on your performance. It's not based upon your perfection. It's not based upon how good you are. It's not based upon any diagnosis you have or any sin that you have any more than Jade's. My love for Jade is based on whether she can see perfectly. He delights in you. Because for everyone in this room who's put their faith in Jesus Christ, he has looked upon you and he has said, son, daughter. Do you rest in that? Do you see your salvation in such a beautiful way that recognizes that you were out there and now you are in here? You're a part of the family of God. Caring for the orphan is close to the heart of Christ and close to the heart of the Lord because it's the gospel. It's the good news. It's what we all are. It's all of our hope. And brothers and sisters, there are millions of kids out there who have no families. And he's called us to be mindful of that and be willing to step in and to be the gospel for them. You know what? There are billions of people out there who don't know their father, their spiritual father. And he wants to adopt them in as well. Do you see the gospel through the lens of the fatherless? It's such a beautiful picture. And I'm learning it more and more every single day. And being around people like Jill reminds me of it and teaches me as I watch her with her kids. And so here, if we lead, I want you to ponder three things. If you're a believer in Jesus, my hope and my prayer is you walk out of this place pondering your adoption. That's it. You walk away thinking about, what does it mean to be adopted in the family of God? What does it mean to be guaranteed all the things that he has guaranteed to his son? What does it mean that he delights in me? What does it mean to be adopted into the family of God? Ponder it, meditate on it, think about it, pray over it. Thank God for it. Don't let the beauty of that situation miss you. Secondly, pray about caring for the fatherless. How has God called you to step in? I believe we're all called to it. And listen, I'm not saying everybody in this room is gonna adopt a kid, although that would be fantastic. My mom and dad are not going to adopt a child from China. Probably. I don't think, right? They just retired. So, I mean, who knows, right? But that's okay because they're still answering the call as they love and support Jade. Like the point isn't like what do you do or that you need to do this thing. The point is how are you going to care for them? So maybe you want to think about international adoption. Well, we've got Holt out in the lobby, and that's who we went through. It's who Jill and Brent have gone through. Maybe you want to go through Holt, and you actually want to step into that. Maybe that's not for you, and you want to foster. Ember's Hope is out there, and you can talk to them. Maybe you just want to know how to support and love on families that have stepped into that. You can talk to Donald at that table and talk about how you can support families. Maybe you want to pray for it. At the end of the day, the calling is how do we engage in it? And maybe it's just a reminder that you see your own life through the orphan's lens. Will you pray about caring for the fatherless? Thirdly is this. If you're not in the family of God this morning, will you come to the family? Will you come into the family? One of the things I hear all the time, and Karen, if I've talked to you, is like, why would you step into this? And one of the things that gets leveraged is like, man, that's so expensive. You could buy so much other stuff. As if we could put the value of a child's life on money. But let me just tell you something. No matter how expensive Jade's adoption was, it is nowhere near as expensive as yours was in the family of God. Jade's adoption cost me money. My adoption to him cost him blood. And if you don't know Christ, and if you're not a part of the family of God, hear his love for you. He paid for your adoption with his blood. And so I would just say, come to the family. You don't know what it's like to be in the family. You don't know what it's like to be loved by the King, to trust in the King, to grow and in understanding rest in the family of God, to understand forgiveness in the family of God. These are beautiful things that we talk about all the time. Why wait? He's waiting to adopt you. I want, before we turn to communion, I want to draw your attention to a video.
I was an orphan.
I was an orphan.
I didn't know my father. I was alone.
Helpless.
Hopeless.
I had no family.
I didn't belong to anyone.
To anyone.
I was an orphan.
No one saw me. No one knew me.
I was invisible. I was lost.
No one claimed me.
No one said, he's mine.
She's mine.
I was an orphan.
I was hungry.
Like all the food in the world couldn't fill me up.
I was vulnerable.
Unprotected, at risk.
Cold, tired.
I thought I didn't matter.
I thought no one cared.
I was an orphan.
I was an orphan. But I was found.
Someone stepped in.
Someone saw me.
I was sought.
Pursued. Wanted.
Known.
I was an orphan, but now I belong.
Now I belong.
I'm embraced.
A sister.
A brother.
I know my father.
I know my father.
I was an orphan,
but I am loved.
At great cost,
I am restored.
And for the first time,
I know that I am valued.
Prized.
Forever.
I was an orphan.
I was an orphan.
We're all orphans.
So I care for orphans.
I was an orphan. So I care for orphans.
That's what Orphan Sunday is about. It's about reminding ourselves that we were all orphans. That's why we care for orphans. That's why Jill says 9 times, I'm going to go and care for an orphan. Because we were orphans. And we move into a time of communion this morning. And I pray that you hear this text in Hebrews 8. The Father declare over each of us, I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Do you know why? Because you're a son and a daughter. You won't remember your sins because you're in the family of God, because your big brother, Jesus, has covered it. And so we come to the table this morning, and we're reminded that the cost of our adoption was the broken body of Jesus and the blood that he spilt for us, that we might not have our sins remembered anymore, that we might be brought into the family of God. My prayer is, as you come, if you know Christ this morning, you come to this table, that it means something wholly new today, because you've remembered and seen what it means to not be a part of the family. I'm gonna call you to respond as we come to the tables. And we're gonna have prayer counselors and elders and pastors up at the front. We're gonna have prayer counselors and elders back in the back at the Info Central. And if you want to talk with someone about coming into the family of God, they're here to pray over you. If you want someone to pray with you over a struggle or a challenge in your life, or maybe you're struggling with those doubts and you see yourself as that kicking and screaming child, like you're in the family, but you're just like, ah, and you want someone to pray over you, like we want to do that. You can come up to the front, you can go back at Info Central and you can talk to the people that are there. If you just aren't confident in that right now, we've got new ways for you to respond. You can actually open your bulletin at the bottom. There's actually a phone number you can text to. You can text respond or response or any of those types of things, and you're gonna get a link, and maybe you're interested in international orphan care, or maybe you're interested in foster care. You're gonna get a document, or and it's gonna say, like, what do you need help with? And we'll contact you. So maybe it's for prayer, or maybe it's because you want to talk about Jesus, or maybe it's because you want information about Holt. You can just do, pull out your phone and text. It's an easy way. But I want to call you to respond, to ponder your adoption, to pray about caring for the fatherless, and to come to the family. So as I pray, prayer counselors, pastors, elders, would you please make your way to the front or to the back? Father, this morning is not about us stepping into social justice or any of those types of things. This morning is simply about being reminded that we were orphans, and so we care for orphans. We are dependent upon the very thing that so easily, it's so easy for us to withhold from those that need our love, our support, our care, our protection, because it's hard. Father, I want to just pray that for all of us in this room, that something being hard would never be a reason to not be obedient. In fact, I know I've found, I know Jill has found, that even in stepping into the hard is where we find your strength sufficient, where we find your faithfulness. It's because we aren't. I want to pray this morning that you would call people to step in. I want to pray, Father, this morning that for all of us, that we would see our faith and our adoption into your family in a new light this morning. I want to pray, Father, for those that are outside of your family who think that normal is outside of your family, and they have no idea what rest is. They have no idea what love is. They have no idea what hope is. Father, may they come to you today. And as we come to this table this morning, remind us of the cost of our adoption. The glorious, beautiful, grand, gracious, and merciful cost that has allowed us all to cry out, Abba, Father. Father, we pray a blessing upon this time as we come, as we have the opportunity to come and give of our offerings and our tithes as well. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. When you feel ready, please come to one of the tables around the room. And then in a few moments, Sean and the team are going to lead us in a song. And even if you don't know the words, I pray that it will allow you to continue to worship as we close. Thank you.
Stay with us.
Just encourage you that if you have questions about stepping into caring for the fatherless, again, if you're interested in international adoption, Holt is out there. If you're interested in foster care, Ember Hope is there. If you're interested in CASA, court-appointed special advocacy, they're out there. Many of our foster team here, if you just want to support those who have stepped into that, you can talk to them. Also, if this is your first time here at Central, we're glad you're here. I'd love to talk with you. If you've got questions about why this is such an important thing for us or who we are as a church, I'd love to meet with you, also help you get connected into the body here. And so I'll be out at the Info Central, which is just right out these doors right after the service. In fact, Jill will be out there with me if you want to talk with her as well and hear a little bit more about her story. And if you want prayer, Gary and David and David and Irene and Bob will stay up here to just be present to pray with you. And there's others back in the back that have little orange badges that they want to talk with you as well. I just want to end with this. To you, the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so the man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Hear the heart of God to care for those who did not have a father, and that includes us. Father, we're so grateful for that. We're so grateful that you have brought us into your family. We're so grateful that that door is always open for those who are outside of your family through the work of Jesus. Father, I want to pray that you would help us to carry out the passion for those who were like who we were spiritually, and for those who are like where we were, who do not have even an earthly father to look to. Help us to be your people with your heart. We pray these things in your name. Amen. God bless, and we hope to see you next week.